right.
Lame.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Are we ready?
Born ready, I guess.
Welcome to M Vibes Podcast.
Home of good music,
good libations,
and good vibes. Hello and welcome to another episode of In Vibes Podcast.
Hello, hello.
Hello, everybody. Who's all here? We got
the whole fucking crew.
Yeah, everyone's here. Amanda's back.
We got the whole band together.
Yeah.
The band's back together.
And we're back at home sweet home, Tommy's.
What?
Tommy's Pub. Sorry, Jamie.
So speaking of Tommy's Pub, the lovely Stacey Badger's behind the bar.
Yes.
And she just got runner-up for the best bartender in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And she was second place to Chris Burns, which if I don't know Chris Burns, he's awesome. And if you're going to come in second to anybody, that's the man to do it. So we congratulate her on that. Yeah. That's awesome.
And she is freaking amazing. I mean, if you've never been to Tommy's, you should get your ass here.
Yeah.
But not just Stace, but Kate is really good too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Kate's awesome. Yeah.
They have something to offer for anybody who wants to. Even if you don't want to drink alcohol,
they have
a lot of non-alcoholic
stuff. They have a whole non-alcoholic cocktail menu.
It's just a great vibe.
It is.
Altogether.
Yeah. Speaking of drinks.
It's Tommy's Pub.
Yeah. What are you guys drinking?
I am actually getting ready to start on a break. Whoop. Spilled some of that shit.
Shotgun it.
A Brave Noise India Pale Ale by two breweries we rarely have in this podcast, Pilot and Noda, together. So it wasn't enough that we only have Pilot and Noda beer in the
room.
That
we had a
collaboration just to fucking drive it home. So, yeah, Brave Noise actually has a purpose. other than getting me fucked up. I don't know. You talk about it, Amanda, because
So it's infinite ingredient, which was founded out of the whole, Me Too movement that happened in craft beer and with all the stuff that went down on Rat Magnet's Instagram account where people were, sharing their shitty experiences of sexual harassment and sexism in the brewing industry, but so it's kind of like a resource point for mental health and creating safe spaces for people.
Yeah, we've had I think not just here in Charlotte, but nationally, we've had several initiatives that breweries collaborate, and this Brave Noise is one of them. Sort of inject more diversity into the industry that has been primarily ruled by, one demographic. And I think this is just another great effort. Black is Beautiful was another one. Mm-hmm. And what's the one that Niels does? That's for autism.
Court Shoes Only.
Only. So there's been several initiatives. This is a great one. So, every time I find something like that, I try to support it, especially this one, because we can be pretty toxic sometimes.
Yeah, me, especially.
Yeah, you.
Oh, my God, I'm terrible.
HR constantly calls about your sexual harassment to us.
All I do is sexually harass the three of you all day long.
This is true.
So that's what I'm drinking. What are you drinking, Amanda?
So I've got Hoppy Holidays from G. I wonder who. No duh. And
no duh.
No duh. I'm drinking no duh. And the Basil Hayden. As my little side project, my side bitch over here. Mm-hmm.
I've got the Mighty Swell Spike Seltzer, Blood Orange, and a little shot of JMO.
Oh my God, you can't call it JMO.
He calls it
Tommy's.
That all the time.
Jamie, I do not. You do.
Jamie starts with slit your throat.
Fuck that shit. I only call that to make fun of you because you call it JMO.
I don't call it JMO. That's the first time I've ever called it JMO.
Lame-o.
Motherfucker.
From now on, I'll call it JMO.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds like a great compromise.
I'm joking. I always call it
JMO.
Call it Jameson.
I call it Jameson when I'm ordering it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I can't call it anything because I don't order it.
So.
Ouch.
Wow.
Anyways.
That was mean.
Ernest, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm unintentionally copying Amanda. So I think this is Hazel Baden.
Yes, Basil.
The other one. Same thing.
Basil.
Yeah, Basil Hayden.
Basil Hayden.
And I also have the Happy Holidays. Whether you've been naughty or nice, we wish you holiday cheer with this one-of-a-kind brew. Loaded with six scrumptious hop varieties, complemented by citrus notes and a brisk, piney aroma.
It's the perfect beer
for the most wonderful time of the year. So, happy holidays from your friends at No
Knob
Brewing.
It is not the most wonderful time of the year because it's Christmas. It's not Halloween.
I miss that beer.
This year's batch is fucking good.
I really miss that beer.
It is really good. Yeah, you're really missing out. It's delicious.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Hey,
you have some J-Mo?
You want to smell it?
Stop it.
Yes.
Here, you can smell it.
Oh, man. You're so mean right now.
I do it all the time.
I do it to Erica all the time. I'm like, here, man, smell this.
Oh, we smelled something from you earlier.
Yeah. I thought Guara walked through the bar for a minute ago.
I might actually be able to get on like disability from my PTSD or something.
Anyways, today's podcast is going to be pretty cool. Can't wait to talk about what we're going to talk about.
Well, what are we talking about?
I don't want to spoil it. All right, fuck it.
I don't know.
The infamous Syd Barrett and I guess Pink Floyd. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to focus a little bit more on Syd than we are on Pink Floyd. But yeah, we do. I mean, you have to talk about both because he was the founding member or one of the founding members. We're going to start off with this song. Everybody knows this, right?
It is literally the only Pink Floyd song that I know. So full disclosure and transparency for me, I know nothing about Pink Floyd. Just that I don't get it. I don't understand the music. Doesn't do anything for me.
This is something that's been a staple.
This I know, and it's great, and I love it, and whatever.
Apparently you're not smoking the right thing.
Yeah, but I just...
Money, it doesn't the right thing.
Do anything Run. For me. Yeah, no, I've heard them all. I just don't... It never resonated with you.
See,
zero.
Nothing. I've always loved this. And honestly, I've listened to Pink Floyd my whole life. But really digging deep into the research for this, I learned a lot more about them. There were a lot of things that I didn't know. And that's, something that is great about what we do. But, I mean, so we all have some memories of those of us who grew up in a certain generation that are associated with this band.
Right.
And most of them are drug related.
Mine are all drug related. Like, my parents weren't into this at all. I found out about Pink Floyd through acid. I mean, really. Honestly.
Growing up, it was like, you don't understand Pink Floyd unless you're dropping or you're smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember, or I don't know if any of y'all were in Charlotte at the time this was happening, at Discovery Place, they had like their, the Dome Theater,
yes.
Like the IMAX.
Yes.
And they would do this Pink Floyd laser light show every weekend. And I was always allowed to go because I'd be like, Mom, I'm going to Discovery Place for a movie. And she'd be like, okay. And so, I'd meet up with all my friends and we'd smoke a bunch of weed or drop acid and just sitting there like getting our minds blown. And when you think about that in retrospect, those lasers were really lame. the capabilities that we have now, but at the time it was just like, oh my God, this is so great.
Yeah, and that to me, see, like in Texas, we went to a lot of raves and laser shows, and we were always not sober. I've been to a lot of Grateful Dead shows too. Several. I don't.
Really?
Yeah, I don't fucking get that either. Like, I just.
I don't really get it. I saw all the hippies.
I saw everybody. I saw the people who listen to Pink Floyd. And we were all there, and I was there listening, but I was like, I'm obviously not part of your tribe. Like, this is so. I'm not connecting.
It was probably a cool experience, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anything on acid or shrooms is cool.
Well, and I think.
I've got some bad stories about that shit.
Pink Floyd is one of those bands, I think, that gets lumped into hippie culture, but they really weren't hippie culture, kind of like the Doors.
Right.
They just happened. Like, a lot darker, and there was some.
Really?
Really, dude?
What the fuck?
Come on. I'm over here grooving.
I'm sorry, that was a rookie mistake.
Yeah, it is. So, Or did you ever do the where you played Dark Side of the Moon with the Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Did everybody do that?
I
did.
I know about that, but I didn't. Does it really?
No, it syncs up. But it like, syncs up perfectly, but perfectly. You have to like start like the album.
But like how so? Obviously the soundtrack is different.
No, after the third roar, you start to film.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I heard like maybe 5 minutes of it, and then I was like, I don't get it. I don't see what like. Is it like the theme and the tone of what's going on in the film?
I don't think you were on the right drugs then.
I only saw this like a few weeks ago. So
I mean,
like,
I was tripping balls when I did it, and I thought it was the best thing in the world.
Maybe it doesn't sync up if you're not on, because
it does sync up. I mean,
I don't know if I would find it as enjoyable now.
Right when it goes sober. From black and white to color, money starts.
Yes.
Okay. It's like, shit.
I mean, first heard it, I think, 1989, mm-hmm. and watched the movie and heard the track at the same, or heard the album at the same time. I'm like, yeah.
Okay, so we're all familiar with that era of Pink Floyd.
Yeah, even if you're in my situation where you don't really care about it, you fucking know who Pink Floyd is.
Yeah,
and you know, The Wall, and you've probably seen, I've seen the movie. Yeah, everybody in the world should know Pink Floyd. They're incredibly relevant.
It's a staple on classic rock radio. You know the songs.
Right.
But do you know this Pink Floyd?
It sounds like The Doors.
It does, because of the organ, probably. Yeah. But it also
this I've never heard.
But this also has a very late 60s psychedelic sound.
Exactly.
That you'd not find on Roger Waters or Pink Floyd at all.
Well, Roger Waters is on this.
But he wasn't.
But you know who was the key person behind this?
Yeah, Sid Barrett.
It was Sid Barrett.
This is one of those early stereo tracks where left and right didn't quite match up. So
it's probably
right,
intentional.
Yeah.
Mono?
I mean, it's a little bit psychedelic because right is overpowering the left. So you hear different things in your right ear than you do your left.
Yeah, this one is like you can hear the bass guitar. This one you hear the organ. Yep. You don't hear bass guitar on my left, but I can hear.
So yeah, they're recorded on different, they're panned to record different tracks.
Okay. So I knew this song as a Love and Rockets song before I knew it was a Pink Floyd song.
How do you know that?
Yeah, a lot of bands have covered this, but the first time I ever heard this was a Love and Rockets cover of it, and I didn't know it was a Pink Floyd song at the time, even though I was familiar with Pink Floyd.
Right. What's really funny about this, or I don't know what the right word is, but like I can definitely hear Pink Floyd in this, like somewhere like what Pink Floyd eventually sounded like, but I wouldn't hear any of this on Pink Floyd stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, it goes seems to go one way. Oh, yeah, this is trippy like that, as fuck.
This was off their first album.
What year was this?
69.
68, 69.
67,
maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. This sounds like it.
68.
So, this was really early Pink Floyd, which was when Sid Barrett was still a member of the band. So, Javier, do you want to tell us a little bit about who Sid Barrett was, like, early in life, and then we'll get a little deeper into that?
Yes. Roger Keith Sid Barrett, which was not his, you know, Sid was not his real name. I don't really know why they call him Sid, but I didn't look it up.
There were a couple different theories on why he adopted that nickname, but neither one of them were actually confirmed, so.
Okay. He is the co-founder of Pink Floyd in 1965, and when he was in the band, he was the main singer and writer. Ironically, though, he only recorded one full album with them, parts of the second album with them, and four singles before he was actually kicked out of the band in 68. The other band members, I know you're going to touch a lot of this and into a lot of this in detail, but the other band members were not really kosher with like his excessive drug use. And, you know, there were some allegations of mental illness there, which I guess eventually, you know, they were kind of
true.
There. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, his family denied that. We'll talk a little bit more about it, but
yeah. So then after he got kicked out in 69, he released a single called Octopus, followed by two full-length albums before he just completely retired from music altogether, became very isolated, but continued painting. He was actually a trained painter before he was a musician, which is something I did not know, in gardening, which, okay, hopefully weed.
That'd be crazy to get a Syd Barrett painting.
Yeah.
Man, I already went thought about where could I find one of those.
Yeah.
We would have to sell our assholes to make that one, though.
Well, it's,
wouldn't be the first time.
I mean, I have... Not Ernest, because goddamn, that motherfucker's...
mine's still fresh.
Unless you're into that kind of thing.
Unless you like it stinky.
One of the things that stood out, he wrote the first single for Pink Floyd called Arnor Lane, which is the main single from Discharge in 67. So that's when it was released. That's when the album was released in 67. The melody is around a transvestite named Arnor Lane who stole ladies' underwear from clothesline in England. And then the only other thing that I have, because again, I mean, Amanda's doing the bulk of the pickup. I don't really know much about Syd or Pink Floyd, but one of the coolest things that I did know about Pink Floyd was where the name came from, which might already be, you know, more popular, but I love Piedmont Blues. And there are two artists that I love. Actually, when I used to own a small independent film company, we're going to do an episode on, or a documentary on Pink Anderson, which is where the pink portion of it comes from. Pink Anderson is a Piedmont Blues musician, and then Floyd Council is another Piedmont Blues musician, and that's where they took the name. When they were going up on stage before one of their first gigs, apparently they couldn't use the name, whatever the original name was. I didn't memorize it. Maybe Amanda does, but I didn't memorize it. But they had to quickly change their name. And out of, I can't remember if it was Syd Barrett's or Roger Waters' record collection, at the liner notes, they had Pink Anderson and Floyd Council right next to each other listed on liner notes. So you just said Pink Floyd. Fuck it. That's their name. And
awesome.
That's kind of how the name happened.
I think we should follow up on that documentary.
God, that was well over 10 years ago.
No, I think we should all drop acid and watch.
I think we should refresh that one.
I don't ever want to do that again.
No, me either. I'm joking.
Piedmont Blues in general is a really, like, I want to do an episode here on Piedmont Blues. I know we talked about some other, but
yeah,
Piedmont Blues is amazing.
I think that, you know, a 3-part series on the blues would be great.
I want to shoot a documentary.
So, back on the topic, because, you know, we just had our squirrel moment for the episode, as we always do.
Squirrel!
Yeah.
Where?
Huh? Up the tree. Go get it.
Okay.
So, that track that we just played was off Pink Floyd's first album, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which pretty much every track on the whole record was written by Syd Barrett. There's input from other members, of course. And it was named after a chapter in The Wind of the Willows, which is one of Syd Barrett's favorite books as a child. So, like Javier said, the band originally formed, they went through all origin stories for pretty much every band of the era. They were, like, all schoolmates, they were all architecture students, and they were rotating around all these lineups, but Syd Barrett was a little bit younger than everybody else, and he evolved into being the lead singer. And the official lineup ended up being Syd Barrett, Roger Waters, Nick Mason, and Richard Wright, which Nick Mason was the only band member who was recorded on every single Pink Floyd record that's ever been.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And he's a race car driver, too. Isn't that interesting?
That's cool. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, there's my Cliff Clavin moment.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, we haven't had one for a while. Huh.
So what circuit did he race on?
I don't know. He races Ferraris in Europe.
Oh,
like
wow.
F1?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I didn't go down that rabbit hole. But
interesting.
Or maybe those smaller.
I mean,
stock F1 ones.
Is huge around the world. So.
Yeah. This is the only country where it isn't, like soccer.
Soccer's getting bigger here.
Soccer and F1.
Yeah. So we're not going to go super deep dive into Pink Floyd because we're here more to focus on Syd Barrett.
Right.
So you know, they recorded all Piper the Gates of Dawn, and then he did a few tracks and a few singles and part of Seltzer Full of Secrets, which was their second record.
Yeah, he didn't. He only did a handful of tracks there, and he didn't complete that album with them.
Yeah, and so we're gonna play Jugband Blues, which is the main track that he did on this album. So it was around this time that the band had formed in 65.
Yeah, 65.
And this is when Barrett took his first acid trip.
In 65 or during this trip, during this album?
65.
Okay.
And when the early formation of the band.
Okay.
He was also reading a lot of Grimm's fairy tales, reading a lot of Tolkien.
I'm sorry. That makes so much fucking sense,
right?
Just listening to this.
Right.
Like, you're like,
Lord of the Rings?
That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. The second the music came on, I was thinking
fantasy.
Little elves and little mountains and rolling meadows and walking trees and shit like that.
Well, yeah. I didn't know this earlier, but he had also lost his father at the age of 16. And, so you're seeing a lot of like this fantasy world kind of like death early on in life that you see. This seems to be a repeated pattern with a lot of the musicians we talk about on this podcast that have like an ill-fated or tragic life, that early trauma. And then you're looking at like his painting and his reading about fantasy, like fantasy worlds and like fairy tales, and it's all escapism.
Yeah.
But at this part, like Pink Floyd was really establishing themselves as a major player in the London psychedelic scene. So you're thinking like swinging 60s, like you're thinking like, you know, Austin Powers kind of, you know, everybody's on drugs.
The original song, the second song that we played, that definitely, I didn't want to say Austin Powers, that just sounded cheesy and like I was mocking them, but that definitely sounds more swinging 60s than like this stuff that we just played.
This sounds more drug-induced,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So around this time, so around 67, 68 is whenever he started a steady mental decline. He was doing a lot of acid. He would go into like these catatonic states, disappear for days, experience mood swings, deep depression. He was erratic during live shows, TV interviews. Like sometimes he just wouldn't even speak. The band had to bring in another guitarist to fill in for live shows because he just couldn't function.
This he was also, like the Sid Vicious of Pink Floyd.
Oh my god. Yeah, except for, you know, he's actually
talented.
But at this time they also brought in David Gilmour to officially join the band. And that's who, you know, that completely recognizable guitar player. Like he's one of those musicians, you hear them, you instantly know who it is. And he had been friends with them for years and years.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah,
David Gilmour is awesome.
Yeah. So he joined the band. They didn't want to include Sid as a touring member, but tried to keep him on as a studio musician and a songwriter because they really did care about the guy. They didn't want him to like... They were really worried about his mental state. They didn't want, but they couldn't depend on him because you never knew what you were going to get with him.
And you might touch on this later, but you know, again, I didn't go in as deep down that rabbit hole. But what little research I did do, Pink Floyd released several tribute songs and albums for him throughout their career.
They did, yeah. and we will get to that at some point. But yes, thank you. So. I guess like he passively aggressively like kicked him out of the band and just didn't really even tell him, probably because they felt guilty and didn't know how to handle the situation. I'm sure we've all like done some shit like that. They basically ghosted him, and they officially announced that they were going to kick him out, and then the record label dropped them, but kept Sid as an artist because they thought Sid was the talent, not the rest of the band. And so that's where he started getting into a solo career. but they were continuing on with David Gilmour. So
his musical career, if you look at the whole thing of Syd Barrett, including his Pink Floyd era, lasted roughly right under 10 years. He didn't have like the tenure of like, you know, Pink Floyd's been around for what, 50, 60 years.
Oh, yeah.
Syd Barrett, before he went into reclusion, he was only a musician for in the public eye for 10 years or less.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and music wasn't his primary focus. Like right. we talked about earlier, he was really into painting and he was a writer and he was more of a visual artist, but he's just a creative all the way around.
Renaissance man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because he still had his record contract, he released two solo albums that had a couple singles, but nothing really took off. Nothing was really charting. And all of his producers and studio musicians that were coming in found him increasingly difficult to work with. And they just couldn't keep anybody in the studio. They were just rotating people around. Because, you know, he was still, like, doing a lot of drugs and still, like, going to all these, like, disappearing acts like he was doing with Pink Floyd. So, you know, they shuffled all this around, and there was, like, one day he just totally disappeared, said he was going to go for a drive. And he instead followed Pink Floyd to Ibiza, where they were going on tour, skipped customs, skipped all the check-ins, ran out on the runway and tried to flag down the plane.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he succeed?
No. Oh. No. Yeah. So obviously this man was in a lot of trouble and really going downhill, and just he wasn't really performing live. When he did, it often led to him walking off stage, sitting down on his guitar. He always said he could not find any other musicians that were good to play with.
But so it's kind of good that we have Brave Noise today. Yeah. That's our beer because, I mean, imagine coupling already like, you know, mental illness and then in tandem with the morbid amounts of drugs he was consuming, that's just a different, it's like, I know, more modern and less relevant, but like Armin Margera, like he was completely outcasted because of his insane drug use. And
that comes with mental illness. Mental illness, you know, was kind of taboo anyway. Yeah. I mean, all the way up into the 90s and 2000s, early 2000s, you know, you just, if you had some kind of mental illness, you didn't talk about it. If you were suffering, I mean, you suffered in silence.
Yeah.
And that's you know, one of the things of that I feel like, I believe that we are allowed now as men to be a little more, I mean, I have a great support system with some of my friends and my family. And I think that if I ever feel where, you know, something's ailing me emotionally or psychologically, I do have a great support system. And I hope like most men out there do. And if they don't, I mean, this is a great fucking time to get that if you need it, because it's not stigmatized anymore.
You know, that's true. And I think we probably should post some resources.
That would be great.
When we put out, you know, this episode, to say, hey, you know, if you need someone, here are some resources for you to reach out to. So,
well, and you know, he was, you know, he pretty much left the music industry at this point because the solo albums weren't taking off. He showed up at the recording for Wish You Were Here, and he had like gained a bunch of weight, shaved his head. Well, I'm not talking about you, Ernest. It's not about you right now.
I know, but I did the same thing.
Okay, so you're just relating to that.
He didn't shave his head, though, but I did.
But yeah, so he showed up this recording unannounced, and half the band didn't even recognize who he was because, like, he just had changed his appearance so much. And he had shaved off his eyebrows, and then he just like was like brushing his teeth like furiously throughout the recording. This was like, I guess it was some kind of manic episode that was like an OCD thing he was doing to make himself feel better. And then he just disappeared again. And it was like a few years later, Roger Waters ran into him at Harrods like department store, and Syd like dropped his grocery bags and like sprinted out of the building, and then Roger Waters went over to see what was in the bag, and it was like full of nothing but candy. which would explain the weight gain. So
sugar. Sorry.
So he ended up moving back in with his mom. I guess she had like one of those like mother-in-law suite kind of like shack in the back kind of apartment things that he was living in. He quit making music completely and was, that's when he started painting again and was like, became an avid gardener. And so he was doing all that. He was basically a hermit at this point, not associating with anybody.
And his, he kept his personal life incredibly airtight. Mm-hmm. Like it, he was, like you said, a complete hermit, pretty much.
He never married, never had kids. I mean, he did have romantic relationships with some women, but nothing that ever lasted for more than like a year or so. But so at the point that he had moved back in with his mom, his physical health started to deteriorate. He developed type 2 diabetes, a couple other physical ailments, and then... he eventually died in July of 2006 from pancreatic cancer.
That's what I'm going to die of, pretty much.
Hmm?
Pancreatic, pancreatitis.
Okay. So...
That's fatal.
Oh.
Yes.
You're just telling us this now?
Well, no, it's not like an active thing. It's just...
No.
I'm managing it. Okay, at least you guys meet Dad with the same way that we met him moving to Portland.
Oh my God.
I was hoping you would say it'd be sclerosis of the liver.
We probably all have that.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard that's fatal too.
Is it the Charles Bukowski quote? Like, find what you love and do it till it kills you?
Yes.
Yep. Cheers.
Should we toast to
Cheers.
That?
Yeah.
I got you at the
dinner.
And no members of Pink Floyd attended his funeral.
Why?
I don't know. I couldn't find any reason why. I don't know if they were like touring or if they just felt weird or.
I wonder if
or if they even knew.
If they even, yeah, I was going to say, they may not even knew.
Because sometimes, you know, when you go off grid and, you know, kind of make yourself obscure and something like that happens.
But I'm going
nobody knows.
But I'm going to assume that he still had a circle of, like an inner circle of loved ones.
Well, it's mostly just family, his mom, his sister.
Right. Maybe.
So there is a possibility that your assumption is correct that they just did not know.
Right.
Maybe.
Or maybe it was like they knew like much later when they finally leaked it out to the press.
That's possible.
Yeah.
So whenever he had stumbled into their last recording session, they were recording Shine On You Crazy Diamond, which is a song that they wrote in tribute to Syd Barrett. The song is about him. Yeah, and so obviously they cared about him deeply. They didn't want to kick him out of the band. They tried to figure out how to help him and keep him an active member, and they just... Sometimes you just reach your end and you can't help somebody. But his legacy lived on. Obviously they cared about him or they wouldn't be writing this.
Right.
You know, he's influenced so many artists, Tangerine Dream, Mark Bolan, like I said earlier, Love and Rockets covered.
I love Tangerine Dream.
I do too. Bowie covered him, Flaming Lips, Paul Weller, The Damned wrote an entire song about him, and he continues to inspire Roger Waters to this day. And
Roger's nuts and all by himself, though. I mean, sorry,
Sorry, say that again. Roger
Waters is nuts too, though.
Is it?
Oh yeah, he went. There was. That can be a whole nother topic.
It can, yeah.
So he also kind of had to.
Yeah, he went into some mental decline as well. This song is just so beautiful.
It's very long, but it's
long. It's a long lead in, awesome, but it's gonna build and
very funeral procession type shit.
Yes.
So his family had denied that he had suffered from any kind of mental illness. And this goes back to what y'all were saying earlier about, you know, at this time, it was very taboo to admit that you had anything like that going on in your brain. It's still like the stigma still exists now, even though it is right. better. We have better resources, better way to treat it, especially for men.
Yes.
You know, but there's theories that Sid Barrett might have had Asperger's, or maybe even schizophrenia. And I have known people personally that have had like diagnosis of mental illness that have been amplified because of their drug use, and they were self-medicating from drug use yep. because they weren't able to get the mental health right. care that they needed.
Yes. Was there ever an official diagnosis for him?
No, no. I mean, you think about it, this is like the 60s.
Yeah. This is gorgeous, by the way.
That
yeah.
still happens today.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many people that, you know, I mean, if you get to know someone, you're like, I know a lot of times it's like, yeah, they're undiagnosed.
Yeah.
Such yeah. and such.
Well, you know? And, you know, as I think we've made a lot of progress, but, you know, as is always, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, me being a person of color, it's stigmatized even more in Latin and African-American culture still, because, you know, we still have that, especially Latin culture, which I'm more familiar with, because you have that, like, that macho Latin be a man sort of situation, and same with African-American culture.
That Rico Suave.
Yeah, right, like alpha male no, sort of thing.
It's all cultures.
Huh?
It is all cultures.
No, I understand. Yeah. It's just that I think that for a lot of us, like today, even today, right? Like, I mean, a lot of like Latin cultures, even homosexuality, still considered a mental disease. Like, yeah. dude, it's not. You know what
well,
I'm saying?
And being a woman too, it's like, oh, well, she must be on her period. It's hormones. She's acting out because of X, Y, and Z. Not that there might actually be a legitimate medical issue that's happening that has nothing to do with a monthly cycle.
And that's also where, like, for a male, you know, being accused of fragility, right? Like, oh, my God, like, male, like, it's...
That's, quit being a pussy. Right. Suck it up.
Like, I think that's what I was going with some of these other cultures that, you know...
Oh, yeah,
like,
there was a lot of that going on. You're like...
Yeah.
It's dude, like, man, just suck it up.
Yeah, it's like, okay...
Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There we go. That was great. That was great.
That's what I was talking about, that build, man. It just...
If this doesn't give you chills, you are dead.
I took 2 full droppers of Delta 8 before I came today, so. Let's kick it in right now. This is perfect.
So, has everybody here watched The Wall?
Yes.
Yes.
Both sober and on acid.
Okay. Yes. So, and after hearing what I've talked about with Sid Barrett, do you see a lot of the similarities with the main character Pink, played by Bob Geldof, in the movie on what was happening right. with Sid Barrett?
The correlation is definitely there.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Well, and also I found out researching this that Roger Waters also lost his dad at a very young age. So I think he was not only writing about Sid, he was also writing about his own personal experiences and kind of meshed both of them into this one central character of Pink. So once again, it just shows that Roger Waters was still trying to honor Sid Barrett even whenever he couldn't deal with him being in the band anymore.
This is absolutely
it's perfection.
Beautiful.
It's perfection.
Hands down. Again, not something that I would sit and listen to with any regularity or at length, but you cannot fucking deny how flawless this is.
The guitar work alone
is one of my favorites.
Yeah, this is good music to like work to, like get shit done.
I was gonna say that again. I didn't even want to sound condescending, but this is the type of shit that I would play while I'm cleaning the house.
Yes.
Now right? this makes me just want to lay on the couch and close my eyes and put on headphones and yes. do nothing.
See, it doesn't touch me that deeply.
I agree with that. I just like to sit back,
especially this song. Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. And I know this must be blasphemous, but yeah, it does not touch me that deeply. It's great. I love it.
No, it
gives me the feels. It's not stirring anything inside of me.
It gives me feels.
I want to touch you deeply.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Again? Again?
Again?
Oh, shit.
You insatiable bitch.
Sorry.
that's the thing for me, right? Before we move on, because we just heard this. I don't understand Pink Floyd. I don't understand prog rock in general. But I will never, like, I talk shit about a lot of bands and I do it kind of bitterly and whatever. But when it comes to prog rock, when it comes to bands like Pink Floyd, I will never, like, say, oh, they suck. They don't. It just doesn't do anything for me. But the musicianship from most prog rock artists, and especially Pink Floyd, yeah, it's ethereal, right? It's up there. It's fucking flawless. Again, it's just more of a, it does not touch me.
So you can recognize the level of talent.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And see, that's how I feel about, like Dave Matthews Band. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, it's not a band I want to listen to. I don't, he sounds like a goat to me.
I
donkey.
Hate it,
like,
but I understand
I don't
saying.
Like it, but every member of that band is technically
absolutely
an amazing
talented.
Musician,
yes.
But
absolutely.
It just does not do anything for me.
Right.
It
huge does following.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh, my friends, one of my close friends' wives, Micah and Chrissy, they're like Deadheads for, and I think they have a name too, or like Parrot Heads for Jimmy
Buffett.
Something
like that. Yeah.
They have a specific name, like, I don't know, Spiral Dancers or something. I don't know. His logo looks like a fucking what do you call it? Gymnastics or ballet logo, like a, anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I did like a couple of his earlier songs. I love the cover he did, not the cover, the song he did with Alanis Morrisette. Was it Don't Drink the Water?
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that was
Melissa Bruno, insane over Dave Matthews. Jay Brown's insane over Dave Matthews. And
yes.
John.
Oh, I have a lot of my friends who are just insane.
I have a lot of friends that
but
love
that's like, if you're going to go that deep into that music, just go Grateful Dead. I mean,
I think Dave Matthews are better musicians.
One of our interns is crazy about Dave Matthews.
Yeah, John.
Oh, John, yeah.
John, yeah. He loves Dave Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. Can we even say we have fucking interns anymore?
No, we don't have interns. Yeah.
John doesn't show up. Kristen doesn't show up.
Nobody shows up anymore.
I know. No. I need a shot now, and there's nobody here to get it for me.
Hold on.
We are now accepting applications for new interns.
And by applications, means just show the fuck
just show
up.
You just show up and you
hey,
go to the bar.
Anybody here want to be an intern?
Yeah. Hey, who wants to be an intern? What? JT, you want to be an intern?
Yeah, JT.
Come on.
Wow, he ran fast.
Our only requirement is to bring his shots.
We just need alcohol, that's all. Basically, we need a waitress or a waiter.
So we're gonna close out with this last Pink Floyd track off the same record. Wish You Were Here. So we're gonna talk about, like, anybody go to any good shows in the past few weeks? Anybody have shows coming up?
Supposed to go see Machine Head next Thursday. And they're doing a show with no set list and no opening band. They're just playing for like 2 hours straight with just whatever the fuck they want to play.
Who was this? Machine Head?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw their set list the past few shows, and they're doing like Metallica covers, Iron Maiden covers.
Oh, that's cool.
They always end the show with that like 15-minute long song that they do. I have to go what the fuck it's called, but besides that, I don't have any other plans.
Yeah.
So I think
I'm sorry. This is another one of those unbalanced songs.
Yes.
So the right
yeah, you get that.
The right channel is kind of like going in the left side, just boom.
I really think they just do this to mess with your brain while you're tripping
absolutely.
Balls. So I don't think I have anything coming up, but it was like, Ernie, when was that we were here? We came out for Occult Fracture CD release party with Hellfire.
Yes.
We met up here after I got off work. This
was
a great
show. I was supposed to be here for that.
That was a great show. We had a lot of, this place was packed. Like,
it was.
Man, that
absolutely
record,
packed.
I spent like $40 on a hoodie and I don't even regret it. Because, man, they were amazing.
Yes. So and we need to have them on sometime.
I would love that. So. I think that was a great idea. Yes. I'll reach out.
You know what? I think it's fantastic that a lot of bands are reaching out wanting to be in our podcast now.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. The more the merrier. So
yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to do a shameless plug because we're going to probably the next event that's not music related that I'm going to attend will be like we're doing our Secret Santa Stout release at Pilot. So we're doing it like the 9th and the 10th. 30 tickets for each night. And it's going to be 7 variants of the Secret Santa Stout.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
So it'll be like last year's release that won gold at US Open. And then we'll have this year's like just regular base beer. And then we're going to have a few different barrel aged variants that's going to be in that lineup. And, you know, normally I don't really plug a lot of Pilot stuff on here, but this one I'm really excited about. So
if we have a Christmas episode, we should get a can of each, pay for it, or whatever, a bottle, whatever it is. And we should have like a
yeah, we can do an on-air tasting about it. That'd be fun. And play all our
that'd be fantastic. I can't wait to try.
You're
going to
be out of town that day, aren't you?
We'll get you a seltzer.
That's all right.
So I didn't do much of anything the past couple of weeks, you know, being the holiday and all of that. But this next week, I have to go look at. I am coming back here to Tommy's to come see the Body Bags, No More People, nice. And Girth Warm. So I definitely want to see that. And then the following day, which I believe one of you said you might be coming with me, which is the Saturday, I'm going to go see Bacalao Stars, which is the only like reggae ska Latin band in Charlotte. They're pretty fucking cool. They've been around for well over 10 years. They're actually really cool.
That's, oh, awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun.
That sounds extremely interesting.
Yeah. So I'll keep you guys posted. We'll post it or whatever it is. But yeah, that's really kind of, and then we had Record Store Day.
We had a great time.
YouTube
video coming up.
Yeah.
Spent way too much money that day.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
That's another thing that we probably should mention. We know, finally started releasing our episodes on YouTube. It took us a while. Yeah. But see how much of a fool we make on video. And sometimes we do talk about shit that's happening.
You know, if you like, want to, you know, go watch us and put that in your spank bank, it's,
There is a lot of shit on the YouTube channel that doesn't necessarily make it into the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I saw everyone's except Amanda's Spotify end of year recap.
I was pretty fucking weird.
I was fucking impressed, man.
I need to do that.
Yes.
I haven't done that yet.
Ernest, though, MP, or was it?
NF.
NF.
Yes.
I was like, who's that? And I typed him in today, and I was like, I just don't see you listening to that group.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
He's incredible. He's incredible.
I've actually downloaded every one of those pictures and stuck them in a folder on my computer because I'm going through everyone's list and listening to music. Yeah, I found this amazing artist. I think it was on Joe Kirkland's, one of our local brewers here.
Yeah.
Joe is the shit. She's over Devil's Logic.
Yeah. A band named Zulu, which is a black half rap, half thrash, but not like Body Count. I don't know how to explain it. It's their own. Kind of similar to Negro Terror from Memphis.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay.
Similar to that, but not.
Okay.
Have their own kind of weird twist on it. Love that fucking band. But yeah, I'm going through like, it's going to take me a good 6 months to go through.
I fucking love
it. Oh, yeah. I've seen so many that who's that?
I'm like, and then there's that one. Please don't listen to music on Spotify. The artist, I'm like, man, you're ruined my whole day. I know.
I've seen that too.
Listen,
but
I've got $21,000 worth of vinyl in my room. I support the artist a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Me too. Yeah.
I mean, we all do. I have Spotify, but when I go see shows, I buy CDs, I buy vinyl, I buy t-shirts.
Absolutely. We support them through merchandise. We support them through tickets. I mean.
Right. Yeah.
We allow Ticketmaster to rape us in the ass on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, $15 for a beer. Fucking Fillmore.
I mean, that's just the way you consume music today. I mean,
right. I think we need to change that.
Other
than independent artists who release physical copies only, I mean, that's how you consume music.
Right. Almost all the albums I buy come with free digital downloads.
You can do both.
Yes. I don't have any place to put them.
Yes.
I don't own a laptop at all.
I think, you know, as far as Spotify and the money is coming into Spotify, it's definitely going to the record companies.
Yeah, but
For sure. But that's been the standard for pre-Spotify.
Absolutely. But that's been the same way forever. I mean, even radio, I mean, whatever.
But yeah, so we do use Spotify a lot. We broadcast our podcast. Yes,
they do. In all fairness, because we just talk shit about Ticketmaster, they do fuck the artist over in the ass on a regular basis too, doing like mere fucking cents on the dollar for their shit. So they're not the best; they're just the most convenient.
But we do advocate of
I don't know how much a percentage is that the tickets go to, but. I mean, you look at a ticket price, then you go, oh, shit.
Oh, let's talk about Spotify.
Look at all these charges that come up. I'm talking about Ticketmaster.
It's not like handling. It's like, so if I spend $200 on a ticket, the handling fee is $50. But if I spend $20 on a ticket, the handling fee is $5. No one's actually handling a goddamn thing. It's just a transfer from a fucking email from here to there.
That's
how it is. Yeah. The $15, not including tip, for each beer.
Right.
It's $15 for a beer, not including
tip.
Don't
get me started on the.
You know, I think the last two shows I went to,
beers at,
I didn't even
PNC
drink.
Pavilion.
But you know who's going to solve all that for us?
Tremont.
The goddess, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
I was going to say, I think if I did that whole, like, your year in recap thing, your festival meme, whatever, that
I didn't do that.
And mine would definitely top artist would be Taylor Swift.
Yes.
And Harry Styles. And I'm not even embarrassed, but I don't care. I don't care.
I don't know how the XX got on my top list at some point. I don't listen to them. I don't even like their music. I mean, I don't dislike it, but it's not something that I listen to.
That's like one of my top was what was it? Alaskan something.
Alaskan Death Mafia.
Yeah, that's it. But I'm like, you know what?
That's not even a band. I just made that shit up.
I'm like,
Fuck your Yankee Blue Jeans.
I bet you that's one of those ambient music that I play at night.
I do that too.
Oh, like some background.
Yeah.
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 I'm like, I bet you that's what it is that I played over and over during the year. And that's the top one that came up.
Yeah, mine would be like, it's probably be like, KMFDM, Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, The Cure, Depeche Mode. It would just be that weird.
Mine's super all over the map too.
See what was my NF Free Coasters?
Free Coasters made it to mine too.
Metallica
and the
Misfits.
Misfits, yeah.
Oh, there'd probably be some ska bands.
$1,000 movie made it to mine.
All right, I'm gonna have to do this later. I haven't done it yet. The Antwoord?
No, that damn group that my daughter jammed to all the time, the XOXO, whatever the fuck it was. That was number one on my list. I'm like, what the?
You know you can create her own account, right?
I have since then.
You had the family account.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
They had their own.
So Eric posts his and it's like Justin Bieber and the Spice Girls, he'll use his kids as an excuse.
What, me?
Hey, don't knock the Spice Girls, man.
You'd knock the Spice Girls.
Up.
All of them. Every single one of them.
All right. Is that all we have for today?
We're out of here.
We're not to an hour yet.
That's okay.
All right, well, let's just ramble on about 4 minutes. Nothing.
Yeah, because that's deficient. Yeah. So
never do that.
One of the things that we did touch on today was obviously mental illness, specifically mental illness.
Yes.
That affects men and the stigma that comes with it. So we did want to kind of wrap up the episode with some resources that we want to drop out there. You know, online mental health resources can provide a wide range of screening tools, tips to manage anxiety and depression, and list additional resources that you can certainly rely on. So the three that I'm going to mention, the first one is Heads Up Guys, which provides tips and tools to help men manage depression, including a self-check depression screening tool. And their website is headsupguys.org. The next one is Men Therapy, which links to additional mental health resources, tips for dealing with stress, and answers to questions like, shouldn't men keep their feelings to themselves? And that is mentherapy.org. Then lastly, I did want to mention Brother, You're On My Mind, which is a toolkit put together by the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities and Omega Psi Phi Fraternity to promote mental health for Black men. And that the website is nimhd.nih.gov. So again, I mean, I think a lot of us, you know, given like what's happening in the world today, and especially in this country and sort of, you know, we're going through a lot as a species. And, you know, I think it's time for men, everyone, but I think specifically me being personally affected as a male, just stop pretending that tough is cool and that we should not have any resources, because we should and we do, and you should completely utilize them.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, and also there is the new suicide and crisis lifeline, which is 988. You can dial it just like you would 911, and you can get immediate assistance if you are at a point where you're feeling at your wit's end. You can call them and get direct assistance.
I also want to add the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-8255. And if you're a veteran, you can press 1, and it'll take you to the Veterans Crisis Line. The Veterans Crisis Line also has a text and chat option.
Perfect.
You know, part of that also is the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233.
They go hand in hand sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. Hope we didn't end on too much of a bummer, but we did want to put that information out there if anybody needs it. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks, I guess.
Adios.
Yeah, good night.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
A huge shout out to our gracious host, Tommy's Pub. Located at 3124 East Wade Drive, Tommy's Pub is a small neighborhood bar that's big on music and community. Go to Tommy's Pub's Facebook page, where they regularly provide updates about upcoming events to include weekly open mic night, karaoke, and live music from some of the best up-and-coming bands in the Queen City. Thank you, Tommy's Pub, for hosting M-Vibes Podcast. We have a lot of interesting episodes coming up about music's most interesting topics, but we want to hear from you and what episodes you'd like to hear. If you have an idea for anything we should talk about, email us at mvibespodcast@gmail.com. This episode was produced by BWM Productions and researched by Eric, Amanda, and Javier. If you like our podcast, please help us by rating and reviewing us on your favorite listening platform. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook at MBias Podcast. Come on and join in the conversation.